From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
Yeah, thanks very much, Ollie. Welcome to Wednesday's programme. What an afternoon it is here in Greater Manchester, in Salford. It's glorious. The sun is shining. There isn't really much of a cloud in the sky. Blue skies, it's fantastic. Lovely, more of that, please. It is Wednesday, October 16th, 2019. My name is Richie Allen. The programme is live right now, and you're welcome to participate by tweeting the programme. It's at Richie Allen Show on Twitter. So tweet me, be Jesus, tweet me.
Well, ring out the gimp.
It's the Richie Allen Show. Broadcasting live on richieallen.co.uk and multiple platforms around the world. And now, here's your host, Richie Allen.
Welcome, welcome. It's you and me today. I've got a fascinating news roundup for you over the course of the next, well, however long it lasts. It'll be at least an hour. It might be longer. Lots to talk about today. Some fascinating things going on. And we'll provide an angle, well, that's completely different to any angle you get anywhere else, or to any angles anywhere else in the media. And I've mentioned the Twitter handle, so if you'd like to contribute, do tweet me now. I'm sure you've got opinions. I'll be only too delighted to hear from them. Live on Fab Radio 2 in Manchester, triggerwarning.tv, of course, my website, richieallen.co.uk, and the programme is on the TuneIn app as well. No excuse for not being able to hear it live. But of course, it's archived on Podomatic, on iTunes, on Spotify, where it gets more than 500,000 downloads a week. Isn't that amazing? Sure is. Right, let's crack on with it then. Far more than 500,000 downloads a week, by the way. That's being a bit conservative. Are you in good form this Wednesday afternoon? Are you keeping an eye on what's going on? Or do you not bother your backside? Tell me. I do want to hear. Anyway, let's jump in, because I don't know how long we're going to be together today. It won't be a short one, but we might not go till 7. We'll see how it goes. Looking at them again, the stories from a very different angle. Today is October 16th. You just told us that, Richie. Why repeat it? Well, because, hey, I was only delighted to discover this afternoon, so I was, be Jesus, that today, you probably knew this, today is International Pronouns Day.
What kind of fuckery is this?
Yes! It's International Pronouns Day. He, she, him, her, they, them, non-conforming, non-binary. Fill your feckin' boots. This made me giggle. It is International Pronouns Day. We're not respectful enough of other people's pronouns. So this is the second annual International Pronouns Day. And there's a lovely bit of guidance from the University of Flint, Michigan. We know Flint, Michigan, don't we? Of course. General Motors, Michael Moore, and all the rest of it. So here's some guidance from the University of Flint, Michigan around pronouns. This is real, I'm not making it up. You can't always tell by looking at someone, or even knowing their name, what their pronouns are. But not using a person's pronouns or misidentifying a person can really hurt them. Make them feel embarrassed, ashamed, or invisible, and make them feel excluded. We're living in a world in which the many ways of being and doing our genders are rapidly changing. And we're living in a time and place where there are many different kinds of public discussions about this. New ways of including all people are emerging right before our eyes. It's exciting, but also a little scary. For people who never really think about pronouns, you know, think consciously about them, and for people who've never really experienced being misidentified or ignored repeatedly over and over again, it can be somewhat confusing, even startling, to think about pronouns. It can feel nerve-wracking, like, what if I get it wrong? Or, I'm not even really sure what pronouns are, or if I know how to use them. But it becomes really easy once you try. This is really guidance from the University of Flint, Michigan. This isn't guidance for five-year-olds. It goes on. In recognition of International Pronouns Day, yippee, here are three tips. Tip number one, share your pronouns. A great thing to do is to pick what your pronouns are and then try to get in the habit of sharing them. Imagine you are wearing a name tag. Write your name and under it, write your pronouns. Try introducing yourself to new people like that too. For instance, hi, my name is Joe and my pronouns are he, his, him. Then maybe include it on your email signature or social media bio too. Just by using your own pronouns, you are signalling to people around you that you might be open to their pronouns. Number two, ask others about their pronouns. Another thing you can do is ask people what their pronouns are and try to use them. You can ask the same person more than once too, as we all can forget or get confused. But it would help if you apologise for forgetting and say something like, I'm trying to remember your pronouns, or can you remind me again what your pronouns are? That way you don't give the person the impression that you are trying to mess with them or are making fun of them. And tip number three, their support on campus. Faculty and staff at the University of Michigan Flint can select pronouns through Wolverine Access. And so on, so on, so on. Mad times we live in. I'll be with Tez, or Darren, or Dean at Salford Red Devils Rugby League next season. And this is the reality. Richie, let me introduce you to Mick there. How you doing, Mick? Mick, what's your pronouns? What? What's your pronouns, Mick? International Pronouns Day. It wouldn't be so sinister. By the way, that guidance was written by Jennifer Alvey, PhD. She's the director of the Women's and Gender Studies Program for the University of Michigan Flint. And the police, they're involved because they have taken to Twitter today to remind you not to misgender people and to use the appropriate pronouns. Here's Julie Cook, Cheshire. She's the Deputy Chief Constable, Julie Cook of Cheshire Police. At least I hope she's a she. Ha 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 ha. And I hope she's not a burst gender. Ha ha. Here's Julie Cook, a policewoman, telling you, you better not misgender people, be Jesus.
Today is International Pronouns Day, which is a day particularly important to people who identify as transgender or gender non-conforming. Being misgendered can have a huge impact on somebody and their personal well-being. It also can be used as a form of abuse for somebody, and that just isn't right. Today is about raising awareness, getting people to have conversations, and understanding why it is so important to understand the pronouns that somebody wishes to be used for them.
Imagine. Have a good day. Imagine the police taking to Twitter to record videos to remind you of your responsibility to use people's correct pronouns. Let's hear from the young people. The young people tell us how they feel when we use the wrong pronouns and when we misgender them.
My pronouns get ignored or misconstrued, or like they're never really correct. Sometimes when people don't use my right pronouns, I feel like I can't wear what I want or dress how I want, because then I won't get referred how I want to be referred.
If people don't use my correct pronouns, I don't feel like I can dress like I want, said that idiot. Anymore?
It feels like your identity is not being respected. It feels like someone has decided something for you, and like you feel like it's just so wrong that you've been thrown in the wrong box, and that this person will never technically respect you if they can't respect this one thing about you.
Well, if they can't respect your pronouns.
Well, when people do respect my pronouns and ask me what pronouns I go by, it's quite a big thing, because not many people do it. It'll like probably make my week or my day.
It'll make his, her, it, they, them weak if somebody says, what are your pronouns? That's what it, he, they, she, whatever the fuck just said there. If people ask me, it'll make my day.
Or even my month sometimes.
Even my month?
It's just boosts your confidence a lot. It just means that you can kind of carry on your day without feeling like people are looking at you wrong.
If only people would start using the correct pronouns, the world would be a better place. And Pink News, they've got a transgender person to double down on this. The importance of using the correct pronouns.
For us trans people who have maybe had to work very hard to be seen in the world as the gender that we are, pronouns are particularly powerful. If you're a, if you're a cisgender person, in other words...
A what? Next time somebody says cisgender, I am authorizing you to punch them in the fucking face. There's no such thing as cisgender, okay?
Person, in other words, someone whose gender aligns with the one you were assigned at birth, just imagine what it would feel like if everyone insisted on referring to you with a different pronoun than the
one... Couldn't give a shit, to be honest.
...than the one you use. It's frustrating, it's demeaning, it feels like no one is listening to you or respecting a core part of who you are. And that is why someone's pronouns aren't optional. What they...
They're not optional. For guys... If somebody's got a beard and a big Adam's apple and a big bulge in his underpants, if he says he's she, it's not optional. You better say she.
They tell you their pronouns are, that's the pronouns you use.
That's the pronouns you use.
What kind of fuckery are you?
Yeah. I love the world. Isn't it a fine time to be alive, isn't it? Isn't it? Yeah, these are the people that are going to be looking after us in our old age, God help us. What time is it? It's 14, well, it's 15 minutes past the hour. This is the Richie Allen Show for Wednesday. Yes. Of course, this is really scary. There's nothing funny about it. We've got to laugh at it because we can't do anything else. You've got the police now taking to Twitter, telling you to use people's pronouns properly, or we'll be coming to see you. She didn't quite say that, Julie Cook, but you get the drift, right? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Tweet the programme at Richie Allen Show. Celebrity Extinction Rebellion supporters have admitted that they are hypocrites over their high carbon lifestyles. They wrote an open letter, the celebrities. Where would we be without our celebrities? I don't want to imagine a world without celebrities in it. They've written an open letter. And in it, they've admitted that they're a bunch of flaming hypocrites, so they are. Basically telling people to be climate change aware when they themselves are flying all over the world. Right? Stars, including Jude Law, said their guilt was shared with everyone in this fossil fuel economy. And they all urged people to campaign for systemic change. Extinction Rebellion were cleaned off the streets this morning by the police, and they're taking the police to court because they say it was unlawful. The police issuing a banning order against them this morning and moving them on. They're going to court, they say. So Extinction Rebellion seem to have ended their protest, or it has been ended. And the celebrities are saying, yes, we apologise, we are a bunch of hypocrites. Jude Law and Benedict Cumberbatch are among 100 celebrity supporters of Extinction Rebellion who signed this letter to say, yes, yes, we're sorry. Along with Steve Coogan, Bob Geldof, give me a break, Sir Mark Rylance, no idea who he is, Ray Winston as well, they confessed their culpability in the climate crisis. The letter is very short and sweet. It says, dear journalists who have called us hypocrites, you're right. We live high carbon lives and the industries that we are part of have huge carbon footprints. Like you and everyone else, we are stuck in this fossil fuel economy, and without systemic change, our lifestyles will keep on causing climate and ecological harm. They went on to talk about the need to deal with the sixth mass extinction event. We're all dying, said the celebs. And they said we shouldn't ignore Greta Thunberg. We shouldn't, under any circumstances, ignore Greta Thunberg. There was some good stuff on Sky News this morning. Adam Bolton met one of the left's darlings. A darling of the left is the writer Naomi Klein. You know Naomi Klein, of course. New York, London, The Guardian. Beloved of the left. Oh, Naomi, thou art the most progressive of them all. She's lovely. She has a book out at the moment called On Fire, The Burning Call for a Green New Deal. On Fire, The Burning Call for a Green New Deal. She said to Adam Bolton, so she did, that to fix the climate crisis is going to take massive public spending. Billions, billions it's going to take. And Adam Bolton, to his credit, said to her, what would the money be spent on, Naomi Klein?
So it would be spent on public transit, transforming our cities so that public transit is pleasant, a joy, not a battle, having much, much fewer cars, having the infrastructure for electric, having affordable housing that is green so that we don't have this endless sprawl. So we have to learn to live together in less space, but we need to do it in ways where we don't turn on each other. And of course, all the, you know, what you would imagine around energy transformation.
And how is it paid for?
Hang on a second, Adam. How is it paid for? Not a bad question, but why didn't you ask her to repeat this little nugget?
So we have to learn to live together in less space, but we need to do it in ways where we don't turn on each other.
Once again.
So we have to learn to live together in less space, but we need to do it in ways where we don't turn on each other.
Yes, Adam. Why didn't you ask her, is she prepared to scale down from her houses in the Hamptons, in New York and in London? Are you prepared to do that, Naomi, to give up your luxurious lifestyle to move into a super city with a cardboard box-size apartment? Are you? That's what Adam Bolton should have asked her, of course, but he didn't. So anyway, back to the question he did ask. How will we pay for it?
So yeah, we need to get polluters to pay for this transition so that it isn't working people who are asked to bear the burden, because we know what that looks like. It looks like...
So it's not ordinary taxpayers who are going to pay for it?
The bulk of this needs to come from the people who created the crisis. The truth is that the 20% richest people on the planet produce 70% of the emissions. So who pays for this has to be who created the crisis and who has the excess capital. We live in a world awash...
I mean, the top 20%, that reaches a long way into the middle class.
It does. I mean, there are people who do need to in the middle class who will need to pay more taxes.
Oh, yes. Middle class people have to pay more taxes. Tax the shit out of people to deal with a problem that is a figment of your imagination. Move them into smaller homes. Monitor what they eat and how often they travel. Tell them where they can and can't go. Sounds like a marvellous plan, doesn't it? Bolton then asks Naomi Klein, does she support the inconveniencing of people in London by the Extinction Rebellion crusties?
London is pretty gridlocked most of the time because we have such bad planning and we haven't invested in public transit.
So make it worse.
No.
Make it worse and inconvenience more people.
Or let's just ignore it and turn off the alarm and go back to sleep and let's just talk about... Let's pretend that the only emergency we have is Brexit.
No, but you see, it seems to me the problem you've got with all this is that there's the International Committee on Climate Change, for example.
I want to talk about people being inconvenienced.
No, but there's...
I want to talk about...
But there's a suggestion that somehow everyone else is so stupid they don't know about it, where actually...
No, people know about it, but politicians...
There's a lot of action being taken by politicians.
No, there isn't a lot of action. In fact, I was in Paris for those negotiations where our politicians made wonderful speeches and said, we're going to keep warming below 1.5 to 2 degrees Celsius. And then they brought targets to Paris that would warm the planet by twice that amount. They are not serious about this. And that's why young people are walking out of schools. And that's why you have Extinction Rebellion, which, yes, is inconveniencing people. But as somebody who has covered natural disasters that are fueled by climate change now for 15 years.
Natural disasters fueled by climate change. That's an oxymoron, isn't it? Make your mind up. It was either naturally occurring weather systems, which it was, by the way, or, in some cases, it is a weather system accelerated by technology that we know exists. But you can't say naturally occurring weather systems caused by climate change, love. Can't say that. It's a bit stupid.
Changed now for 15 years. Let me finish.
Let her finish, huh?
Nothing more inconvenient than being hit by a Category 5 hurricane.
Traffic may be a problem.
By having
disasters may be a problem.
A wildfire
raise
your
anybody.
Town. Let me tell you how inconvenient it is.
Let her tell you.
It is for the people in Paradise, California, 14,000 of whom lost their homes.
Yeah.
Climate change is really, really inconvenient. And so if people have to deal with this inconvenience of some protests in London to get the attention of politicians who have been focused on a singular way on the emergency of Brexit, then so be it.
Oh, so be it. California wildfires, she says. Climate change. Nothing to do with climate change. I wonder, has she ever heard of Deborah Tavares? I wonder. Nothing to do with climate change. But anyway, we'll leave that one there hanging in the air, as it were. Adam Bolton noticed something in her epilogue. This is her new book. She's on to talk about her new book, Naomi Klein. And he noticed something in the epilogue that was very interesting, and he wanted to bring it up, and it's about the left-right paradigm. This is good by Bolton now, to give him his due. Have a listen.
One of your points you have in your epilogue about the New Green Deal, you say it will build new alliances and it will undercut the right. So, in fact, what it is part of perfectly legitimate, Ocasio-Cortez is also that, it's part of a left-wing campaign to somehow weaponize and appropriate the climate change issue, isn't it? That's really what it's all about.
You asked me a question, will we have to spend public money? It's an almost absurd question. The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change has told us we need to cut global emissions in half.
It's you who say this will undercut the right. And
it
what
will,
I'm saying is it's appropriating
the right,
the climate change cause, which affects all of us, for a
Murdoch-owned
left-wing agenda.
Media has been pursuing an agenda for the past 40 years of deregulation, privatization, and public austerity, which is entirely incompatible with what we need to do in the face of the climate crisis. You have a problem, which is that the right has an ideology that is incompatible with life on Earth.
The right has an ideology which is incompatible with life on Earth, she said. Undercut the right, we've got to do, she says in her conclusion. And whatever Bolton might be, and whatever the Murdoch media might be, and of course I'm no supporter of it, she is weaponizing the environment and making it a right versus left issue. The right is so very, very bad, according to Naomi Klein. What about the left, then?
The left has been saying we need to invest in the public sphere.
I'm not saying the left has been right on this all along. There are many people on the right who are concerned about climate change. You can look at the Goldsmith family, for example.
They are concerned about it, but you often have people on the right who are concerned about it, who are very resistant to the kind of large-scale policies that would actually get the job done.
What I think you're doing is...
I'm also critical of the left for not taking this crisis seriously enough,
which is of concern to everybody because all the human race is affected by this. What you're in fact doing is trying to polarise people on this, on a left-right agenda, which actually will mean you'll make less progress than you would
otherwise.
You don't
think it hasn't been polarised by right-wing free market think tanks that have spent decades spreading misinformation, taking money from Exxon and other fossil fuel companies to tell people that it's all lies and to say it's all a communist plot?
I think that was actually what polarized this. There have been arguments in the past, but I think Exxon now recognizes the problems of climate change.
So Exxon is planning to expand production by 35%.
Has been doing this.
BP
all I'm saying is it's not
has
a left-right
pulled
right
out
issue.
Of renewables
it's not
and
a
doubled
right
down
issue,
on fossil
you are
fuels.
Making it, this a left-right issue.
It is an issue of life versus death. And we have people who are so invested in profit that they are willing to let the world burn.
Let the world burn. Naomi Klein speaking with Adam Bolton on Sky News this morning. It is Wednesday, October 16th, 2019. I am Richie Allen. This is The Richie Allen Show, live on Fab Radio 2 in the great city of Manchester. I'm broadcasting in Salford, equally great. Lovely to be with you. Tweet at Richie Allen Show. I will read your tweets shortly. Going to take a 60-second break. Back with more after that. Do not go anywhere.
Renowned healer Mark Byerski travels the world to find the most unique and powerful crystals for self-healing. Since the ancient times, crystals have been used as healing tools. They hold a natural healing vibration and are highly charged in positive energy. Mark teaches how to channel the universal energy and transfer it to the crystal to activate its healing power. Each crystal is used for its unique ability to target a different physical or emotional challenge. Mark Byerski is an author, healer, speaker, and founder of the Pure Energy Healing Academy. He shares powerful messages of inspiration and healing on his daily YouTube videos, reaching millions worldwide.
Mark's crystals, healing oils, and incense sticks are most sought after by other healers. His collection is available online at www.markbyerski.com. His work is presented through Lemon House, a company that creates and curates consciously made gifts.
Okay, back in a minute with your tweets. Okay, I'll be reading some of your tweets and then we'll move on and we'll talk about other things. This is the Stone Roses on the Richie Allen Show. Wednesday's program. Thanks for joining me. Stone Roses on the Richie Allen Show. Waterfall. The time even is 28 minutes to the top of the hour. Wednesday's program. What an afternoon it's been here. Absolutely glorious. Warm as well. Warm weather. It must be all of that climate change. I've no idea. Patrick tweeted the program on the gender stuff, the pronouns, because it is International Pronoun Day today. Okay, respect other people's pronouns. Or plod. And for our American listeners, plod. Well, plod is our slang term for the police. The police will be asking you questions. We know this, of course. Caroline Farrow, the Catholic lady, of course, who was visited by and threatened by the police for misgendering a man who believes that he is a woman but looks nothing like a woman on Twitter. I've said it 1,000 times, and when I said it, I meant it. If you ask me to refer to you as she, and if you say, Richie, do you mind? I'm going to say, no, don't worry. Of course, I'll refer to you as she. Because I'm not the worst Egypt that ever traversed this mad world. I don't mind. Don't start telling me what I have to do. Don't start telling me it's going to be the law. Because then you've got a problem then. Because then I'm not going to do it. But if you say to me, what do you think, Richie? I believe I'm female. I want to be a woman. I believe I am. And I'm more comfortable this way. Listen, of course, no problem. And good luck to you, sincerely. Don't be telling me what I have to do and what I don't have to do. Patrick says individuality is a good thing, but all of this gender pronoun business is depraved. It seems that some people cannot come to terms with their status as a man or a woman, and many will need psychological help. He says, albeit the cabal wants to encourage this aspect of dystopia. Number of comments on this. At Richie Allen Show to send me a comment if you want to do so. I'd be glad to hear from you. Interesting times. Charlie Girl says, I really don't want to be disrespectful of people in genuine turmoil, but it's getting worse. It's having a profound effect on children who never would have previously questioned their gender. It's confusing people and it's causing unnecessary division, says Charlie. Yes. Hi to Joe Public. How you doing, Joe? The planet seems to be going through a blizzard storm as the world is so full of snowflakes, says Joe. And Cliff tweets, referring to my missus in the third person, I call her it now and again. i.e. it keeps moaning. Glad I am trying to be PC. She usually responds with profanities, which I fully deserve. We don't take each other seriously. Perhaps that's a lesson for the progressive types. Yes, people are being encouraged to take themselves more and more seriously, to see themselves as exceptional, to see themselves, I think, as above reproach. Infallible. That's the word. That is how the young are being conditioned. That if they say the world has to be a certain way, well then the fucking world has to be that way, or woe betide anybody who doesn't go along with it. That's where we are. That's why you start telling me in stupid videos made by Pink News that there's no debate, that I must do this, while I'm going to seek out opportunities to not do it. Just to be a pain in the arse. Because I can take niceness. I can take anything from anybody, so long as it is respectful and not authoritative. Authoritative. Richie, do you mind? I said it already. Richie, do you mind? No, not at all. Of course I don't mind. Don't tell me what I have to do or what I must do. and don't threaten me that if I don't do it, I will be labelled transphobic or bigoted or whatever. Because the more you do that, the more I'm going to look for opportunities to say, you big, hairy, Adam's-appled, bearded fucker, you will never be female. But that's not me, you see. I'll say fair enough until you start telling me what to do. Sharon tweets, I don't care what anyone wants to be, it's not my business. But what I take exception at is being lectured at by some uni snot-nose whose experience of the world has been school, school and more school. Amen to that. The time is 23 minutes to the top of the hour. I'm saving Brexit for last today. Just thought I would. Thought I would, you see. Sky News has launched a Brexit-free news channel today. It'll run for 5 hours a day on Sky Channel 523. Cinco, dos, tres. Plans to introduce a nationwide age verification system for online porn have been abandoned by the government. Do you remember this? We talked about this quite a lot. The government said to protect children, to protect children, to protect children. We need to introduce an age verification system for everybody so that if you wanted to go online to watch a bit of porn, you had to verify your age. And one of the ways you could do that was you could go to a local news agent and get a pass. Honest to God, this is one of the proposals. Imagine it. Your lovely, dear old 65-year-old news agent lady who's known you all your life. And you've got to go in. How are you, Margaret? Are you all right there, Margaret? Yeah. Listen, give us a Mars bar there, will you? Packet of crisps, will you? And give us a bottle of Coke, will you? And give us one of them fucking porn passes, will you? What? Mars bar, packet of crisps, bottle of Coke, and one of them porn passes, Margaret. Yeah. You could also do it online with your credit card details, apparently. Of course, this was totalitarian, right? Not that I've got a lot of time for latter-day pornography, which I've talked about on the programme, the rotten, violent porn that exists today. So the government is abandoning this. Years of technical troubles. By the way, my friend Sharon, whom I've just mentioned, Sharon Gale, Sharon is like Natalie. Isn't it funny? The only two people I know who are IT experts are women. Letters. Oh, Jesus. Did I say that? They're not. I'm just being mean and rude. I'm being non-conformist. Trying to get chucked off the air. Blazers. Trying to get chucked off the air. Far from it. Sharon and Natalie IT experts, right? So they'll be interested in this. Basically, they're abandoning this, the government, because they can't figure out how to do it. Right. You could get a porn pass from a news agent. A porn pass, eh? Or you could do it online, but they can't figure out how to do it online. Because they can't protect people's privacy. But they were never meant to protect people's privacy. Okay. Now, Nicky Morgan says, we're not abandoning the entire idea, you know, of protecting children, that is. We're going to look at it in a much broader sense when we publish the Online Harms White Paper. By the way, the Online Harms White Paper is going to be one of the most Orwellian bits of government pish ever introduced in the United Kingdom. It's tyrannical. It's not about porn. The Online Harms White Paper is all about this misgendering stuff. Talking about vaccines. Talking about false flag terrorism. It's about basically sanitising the internet and making it only possible to discuss that which the establishment has said is okay to discuss. Now, the Online Harms White Paper is yet to come. We'll give it extensive coverage here on Your Richie Allen Show. Sky has got a technological reporter. His name is Roland Manthorpe. Roland Manthorpe, eh? And he's got more, does Roland Manthorpe, on why the government has abandoned the age verification check for dirty little porn users.
A lot of people would say that's because it was never going to work.
Okay.
And the government was repeatedly told this, but they pressed on with it nevertheless. So back in 2015, the government came up with this plan, a good plan in theory, to stop young people stumbling across porn on the internet by putting up basically age barriers. So you'd have to check in with your name and maybe...
Nobody stumbles across porn. Come on, give us a break. Youngsters are far, far, far more adroit adroit, I love that word, they are far more adroit when it comes to navigating the internet than we give them credit for. Four-year-olds can find porn if they want to. Now, I'm not saying that four-year-olds are aware of porn. Hopefully they're not, thanks be to Jesus. But this idea that they would stumble across it, come on. Anyway.
Maybe your address and prove your age. But there were these kind of technical issues that kept on getting raised, and it was delayed once, it was delayed twice, it was delayed three times, it was delayed again. My colleague Alexander Martin and I broke that story about 6 months ago, and now, today, we've learnt from Nicky Morgan, who we just saw earlier, that instead of being delayed, it will basically be put off.
Because it's completely unworkable.
Well, that's not what the government has said. Okay. We should give them their fair hearing. They say that they found a better way of doing it, a better way of protecting children that is part of a what they call a more coherent plan. And in their statement, they say, the government has concluded that this objective of coherence will be best achieved through our wider online harms proposals. That's this other kind of legislation they're putting through. And as a consequence, we'll not be commencing part three of the Digital Economy Act 2017, what we call the porn block. The Digital Economy Act objectives will therefore be delivered through our proposed online harms regulatory regime. This course of action will give the regulator discretion on the most effective means for companies to meet their duty of care.
The online harms regulatory regime. Coming soon. And if you think things are tyrannical and totalitarian now, wait till you see the text of the online harms white paper. Unbelievable. Orwell will spin around in his grave and go, Jesus, even I didn't see it coming. That's where it's going, by the way. Anyway, thank God they've dropped the age verification check, to be honest, which would have identified every single porn user in the country, eh? Very embarrassing for me if my porn history was to be known, to be honest. I'm very old-fashioned, me, very old-fashioned. I still watch pornography with soundtracks, well, like this. Marvellous. Remember the days? God be with the days. I don't need anybody knowing that stuff, you see. Not funny. Right, let's move on. It's exactly 16 minutes to the top of the hour. Oh, let's talk Brexit then. I've spared you till now, but sure look, Pete Jesus, huh? And all the saints and all the shamrocks. The government has until tonight to reach an agreement with the European Union to agree a deal, because there's a European Union summit tomorrow and Friday, and in it, they're supposed to agree to sign off on the deal. So they're supposed to agree something tonight and then get it signed off by the European Union 27 member states tomorrow or Friday, and then present it to Parliament on Saturday at a special sitting of Parliament. Do you understand that? It's fairly straightforward. Here's Sky News John Craig with the latest on this.
He's told the Cabinet that...
He's talking about Boris Johnson, by the way.
He's told the Cabinet there is a chance of securing a good deal, but we are not there yet. There remain outstanding issues. And Number 10 have told us that those outstanding issues relate to disputes with the DUP, the Democratic Unionist Party, who have had a number of meetings, long meetings, with the Prime Minister over the last couple of days, but also with the European Union as well. There are no plans for the PM to make a dash to Brussels tonight at the moment, although it's not being ruled out, because the Prime Minister has said he will do absolutely anything he can to secure a deal. They are talking about a full deal, is what they're hoping for, on the withdrawal agreement and the political declaration. Mr. Johnson has also spoken to Leo Varadkar, the Irish Prime Minister, again today by telephone. And also, Number 10 have announced that tonight the government is tabling the motion in the Commons for tomorrow to enable Parliament to sit on Saturday. That will be the Commons and the Lords, 9:30 till 2 p.m. in the Commons. Now, of course, MPs may try to amend that, make the House sit for longer. It's also possible, if the whole deal making. If the whole attempts to secure a deal collapses, well, it's possible the government may just not move that motion to sit on Saturday. But as of now, the Prime Minister is said to be working flat out to get that deal. He says there's a chance of securing a good deal. Not there yet, remain outstanding issues. But as of now, the government's tabling a motion tonight to sit here on Saturday, the first Saturday sitting in the Commons since April the 3rd, 1982, which was just as the Falklands War was about to start.
Now, what's interesting, Sky News is reporting right now, that the French President Emmanuel Macron is or has said that a Brexit deal is being finalised. In fact, Sky got that from the news agency Reuters. That's at 5:45 UK time, Wednesday afternoon, the 16th. The Reuters news agency reporting, Sky echoing it, that Emmanuel Macron says a Brexit deal is being finalised. Indeed. That's interesting. A deal, eh? Told you the UK would never leave the European Union with no deal. I told you. And I also told you that any deal that they agreed... Now, look, I don't expect Parliament to approve the deal, but any deal they agreed would not mean the UK would properly leave. It would be Brexit in name only. Very interesting stuff, this. Seems like Johnson has finished speaking with his cabinet, and we'll have to wait and see what happens later on. All right, but there was some interesting things happened today. Very interesting today. The Brexit Select Committee met. The chair is Hilary Benn, Labour Party MP, and he managed to get the Brexit Secretary, Stephen Barclay, to acknowledge that if no deal is agreed between the European Union and the UK, that Boris Johnson would ask the European Union for extension. Let me clarify that, because you heard no deal in there. If the UK and the EU fail to reach an agreement, or if that agreement is rejected by Parliament, Brexit Secretary Stephen Barclay did concede that Boris Johnson would indeed ask the European Union for an extension. Here's the exchange today.
The undertaking given to the court was that subject to Section 1.5, in the event that neither of the conditions set out in Sections 1.1 and 1.2 is satisfied, he will send a letter in the form set out in the schedule. Can you confirm for the committee, as the Secretary of State, that in those circumstances he will send the letter?
I confirm that the government will abide by what it set out in that letter.
Indeed. Which will involve sending a letter, is that right?
You read it out, and hopeful. I refer back to that text.
Well, that's hopeful that you have confirmed that he will send that letter.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Emmanuel Macron, Rothschild's man, running France at the moment, on behalf of Daddy Rothschild, says that a deal is being finalised. Well, here, listen, before we wrap it up today, there were a few belly laughs this morning. Kay Burley is now presenting breakfast for Sky News. Kay Burley at breakfast. Few belly laughs. She interviewed the leader of the Liberal Democrats, a woman called Jo Swinson. Now, before you hear what I'm going to bring you, Swinson spent 3 minutes saying that she believed Boris Johnson's proposals with the European Union would be horrendous for the UK. Awful, she said. But then she slipped in that if there was a guarantee that it would be put to the people, she'd vote for it. This is rather bizarre. It's fairly crap, she says, what Boris Johnson is planning to offer us, but if a referendum was tagged onto it, I'd vote for it. Little bit of comedy here. Kay Burley tries to dig down into Swinson's rather bizarre thinking.
You would still support it if a second referendum was attached to it.
So we've always said that any Brexit deal should be put to the public for the final say. It should be the people that are able
to get
choose.
Through there first, doesn't it? So, well, you would support a Brexit deal, the one that you just described, as long as it had a second referendum attached to it, just to be clear.
Yeah. We think that this deal will be hugely damaging for our country because...
But she's going to vote for it, wait till you hear it.
Country, because we also recognise that the best deal we could have is the one that we have as members of the European Union. And we think the best way to stop Brexit is to have a people's vote where the public can choose between this deal or any deal and remaining in the EU. So we will support a referendum and we will support a bill that puts any Brexit deal to a referendum.
Sure.
But we will not be supporting a deal unless it is the public that will have a final say.
I get that, but in order for it to get to the public, you have to agree to it in the House of Commons on Saturday or whenever it is. So you would agree to a deal that you don't necessarily think is the best for the country in order to be able to get it over that barrier in there to get it to the people for a vote.
We will not be voting for any legislation that does not have a referendum in it. That is absolutely key.
The
public vote
so you
is
would
key.
Vote for it as long as it had a second referendum.
Our
attached.
Policy has been just from the beginning. We will vote to put a Brexit deal to a people's vote. We're not going to support a Brexit deal. We don't support
but you have
the deal.
To vote in favour of
we don't
it.
Have to vote in favour of it on Saturday because it's entirely likely that on Saturday,
so
if
when
the deal
it,
is...
When it comes back to the House of Commons, but whenever that might be, you have to vote in favour of it with the attachment of a second referendum in order for it to go to the people. It can't otherwise.
So we will vote for a second referendum. Anything that doesn't have a second referendum attached will not be securing Liberal Democrat votes.
Okay, but if it does have a second referendum attached to it, you will agree to it.
We will not agree that a deal is a good deal. We will vote to put the deal to the people with the option to remain in the European Union.
No matter how bad a deal it is, you'll agree to it as long as it has a second referendum attached
to it. It's not agreeing to the deal, it's agreeing to give the public the final say, and that is fundamentally what is necessary. Because politicians, you know, Boris Johnson going off, discussing with the Cabinet, discussing with the DUP, all of that without any reference to the public. And this is people's lives we're talking about. This is our NHS that we're talking about. This is people's jobs.
I completely get it.
And so that's what we need to do. We need to make sure the public have the final say. Liberal Democrats will, of course, vote to give the public the final say.
OK, and that will mean agreeing to Boris Johnson's deal, whatever form it's in, as long as it has a second referendum attached to it.
It's not agreeing to the deal, it's agreeing to give the public the choice.
OK, let's say voting in favour of it then, which you will have to do in order to get it through the House.
I will vote in favour of a bill to put the deal to the public.
Okay, fine.
Yes, Kay!
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Hey, oh, Kay got there in the end. She got there, Kay. Brilliant stuff. I don't know how Kay didn't chin her, to be honest. Properly chin her on live television. You daft bint. You've told me 15 times the deal is crap, but as long as a referendum is attached to it, you'll vote for it. Indeed. Be Jesus. Anyway, after that madness, Kay asked her, why don't you support Jeremy Corbyn in forming a government to stop Brexit if that is what you really want? That's what Kay says to Joe. Can we hear what Joe said to Kay? Let's try that again. Yeah, so Kay says, if you really want to stop Brexit, why don't you support Corbyn? If you do, he can form a government and end it. And Joe Swinson replies,
there's no way that Liberal Democrats can support Jeremy Corbyn to be an interim Prime Minister or Prime Minister at all. First of all, he doesn't have the numbers and never will have in terms of the confidence of the House of Commons. And second of all, you know, this is a man who has spectacularly failed to tackle the scourge of anti-Semitism
in his
own party. This isn't some trivial policy difference. This is about the fundamental values of equality. He's not fit to be Prime Minister. Boris Johnson is not fit to be Prime Minister. And so whenever a general election comes, that's why I, as the leader of the Liberal Democrats, will be standing as a candidate to be Prime Minister, because Britain deserves better than the choice.
Majority in the House of Commons, I heard you saying on Sophie Ridge Sunday.
If we have a general election, it is up to people in this country how they vote and what their choices are. It's not up to anybody else to tell them what they can and what they can't have. And if millions of people believe, as I think they do, that there is a need for a better alternative to Boris Johnson and to Jeremy Corbyn, they can vote Liberal Democrat and they can have a better politics and a better future.
A Liberal Democrat majority.
What kind of fuckery are you?
Yeah, if it's up there, I'll give you the money myself, love. As a very famous game show host once said many moons ago. Be Jesus, huh? Angela Lansbury celebrates her birthday today, by the way. How do I know this? Well, because she's trending on Twitter. And thank God, when I thought she was trending, you look at Angela Lansbury and you think, if she's trending, she's obviously dead. But she's not dead. Thank heavens for that. I have no idea how old she is. I just know it's her birthday. She's been around since, well, since Moses was in short trousers. Angela Lansbury there. Right, I've not got much else to tell you today. Slightly shorter programme today. Slightly longer yesterday. And lots happening. It's going to be very interesting later this evening to see what is negotiated, what is or isn't agreed between the European Union and the United Kingdom. We know, you and I, because we know that any agreement is not going to be favourable to the United Kingdom. It's going to, excuse me, it's going to result in the UK being a vassal state of the European Union, a rule taker with no say, paying the European Union monthly, accepting movement of people and all of that old jazz. That's the deal, basically. Johnson is basically going to agree the deal that May agreed, Theresa May that is, except worse. Watch what happens. And either way, whether it gets past the House of Commons or not, it doesn't matter. I said it years ago, we would never properly leave the European Union. And I have been saying now for the last 3 months that we would not leave without a deal, meaning we wouldn't leave properly on October 31st. That's not going to happen either. That's about it for Wednesday's programme. Thanks for sharing the last 60 minutes with me, Richie Allen. I really appreciate that. I'll be back with you on YouTube for the live stream, the newspaper review tomorrow, Thursday at 9:30 a.m. in the a.m. on YouTube. And back to normal tomorrow, Thursday, where I will have some guests for you to listen to. It's nice to mix it up like this. In fact, I will have some guests on tomorrow. A lovely show yesterday with Francis Leader and Caroline Stevens. And thanks for all the lovely comments that came in about both ladies. A lot of you were very particularly taken with Francis and the things we got into when we went into overtime about the nature of reality and all the rest of it there. Going to finish, we mentioned John Henry. John Henry, right? When we were talking about the canonization in Rome last weekend and Prince Charles, mentioned John Henry as a bit of a bad gag. The folk song, been around for forever. I'm going to finish with Bruce Springsteen's version of that. And that'll close out today's programme. I've been Richie Allen. Look after yourselves and one another. Speak tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Speak soon.